our message today.
Well, hi everyone, it's great to be with you online. I do many, many meetings online. I coach people all over the world regularly through the week, coach and mentor people online. So I'm very familiar with this environment, and I have been engaged in meetings with people in various parts of the world all at once too. So this is a technology I'm familiar with, and also I'm familiar with the problems that we have with technology when we're trying to do this. I hope that you're receiving this stream now without crackling, apparently. Crackling's good when you eat pork, but it's not good when you are trying to stream a message. I'm not unfamiliar with this area of stress and managing stress. When I did my master's degree in clinical psychology, my thesis was actually a correlational study between spiritual maturity and stress management. So it was called, the title of the thesis was called Dimensions of Spiritual Maturity, a Social Psychological Case Study of Factors Affecting Spiritual Maturity. And I used three tests. I had what was called the Maslach Tedium Scale, which tested people's perceived stress, very, very reliable test. And then getting a spiritual maturity test was challenging, but I found the theistic religious orientation inventory that somebody had developed as part of a PhD study, and I used that, and then I also did a broad social and personal survey with the group that I was studying, and I tried to find a really highly stressed group that was fairly homogenous. So what I found was overseas students studying at Monash University from Malaysia were always highly stressed, and it was a good group to study. Well, my thesis was that if you were more spiritually mature, if you scored higher in spiritual maturity, you should be able to cope with stress better. And guess what? After all the analysis, it was proven to be correct. So I can tell you that there is evidence that following Jesus is a good way to manage stress. Interestingly, when you do a study like that, you do what's called multivariate analysis. It takes all of those variables and rotates them on what's called an orthogonal and an oblique rotation, very complex mathematics. But what that does is determines what other factors are significant in your study group. And it was interesting, when I was looking at maturity, I really wasn't doing a deep study into the factors that affect Christian maturity. But I found some interesting things. It wasn't how long a person had been a Christian, or actually how regularly they attended church, that was a major factor in how spiritually mature they were. It was actually how practical their faith was, how engaged they were in living their faith. Now, we should know that from the Bible, but I have empirical evidence that that is the case. And so for me, what that meant was that the most spiritually mature people were those who applied to Christianity, who I guess it was applied Christianity versus institutional Christianity, those who went through the motions, did all the things that were required to be Christian, from an institutional perspective, actually didn't score as highly in spiritual maturity as those who were actually applied in their day-to-day lives. There was also a strong positive correlation between self-acceptance and healthy stress management. So these are some of the things that I'm going to be using as I try to explore this topic today, which is stress. And this is basically going to be a case study of Jesus and how he coped with stress. So we're going to look at Jesus, see how he coped with stress, and then see if we can apply it to our life today. And there were a number of things that Jesus exhibited in his life, which I think are relevant to this topic. First of all, we're going to look at his self-awareness. Jesus was very self-aware. His self-acceptance, which, as I already said, my studies indicated that self-acceptance was a good way to manage stress. And then self-deployment is another thing that Jesus did. And then self-actualization is a big word, but I'm going to explain what that means later. Self-awareness. Let's start with self-awareness. Self-awareness is actually knowing who you are. And by the age of 12, Jesus had a very clear understanding of who he was. If you might recall the story where his parents went off to Jerusalem, and Jesus had turned 12, and they were heading home, and they realized Jesus wasn't with them, and they went back and they found him after 3 days of searching. They found him in the temple, debating with some of the greatest academics of the time. And when they said, "Well, why have you done this to us, Jesus? Why have you just not even informed us that you weren't coming with us, and you caused us great distress?" And he said, "I must be about my Father's business." And Jesus, I think, by saying that, was indicating he had a very clear understanding of who he was and what his role in life was. Jesus knew who he was self-aware. Part of the strategy for dealing with stress is for us to be self-aware. It's for us to know who we are, understanding our uniqueness. And that also means discovering our gifts. So what we are told in the Bible that we are each given gifts, and we're given gifts in a certain array that nobody else has got, and we are made for a purpose. And that's the first thing, I think, to us coping with stress. It was something that certainly was exhibited in Jesus, and it's something that we should take note of. I do want to say, though, at this stage, that stress is not all that bad, actually. Stress is part of life. Nobody can avoid stress, and stress is not necessarily unhealthy. When I was doing horticulture, we learned that if you stake a tree and tie it too tightly to the stake, when you take that stake away, the tree will just fall over. If you look at street trees, and when they're staked, they've got either a big stretchy tie on them, which allows them to move around in the wind, and then they take that away as quickly as possible. If the tree isn't stressed as it's growing by the wind, by the factors of the elements of their environment, and they're overprotected, when that protection is taken away, they just collapse. I think it's the same way in life. We have stress, and it's how we cope with that, really, that determines whether or not we're healthy. And so what we're talking about today is we're talking about experiencing stress, because everybody experiences stress, but we're also talking about being stressed. So when people say, "I'm stressed," that means they're not coping well with stress. So we're talking about coping with stress, but stress in itself is not all bad. So Jesus was self-aware, and I think the first step to us coping well with stress and not being stressed, even though we have stress in our life, is being self-aware, knowing who we are. The next step is to accept who we are. Now, Jesus embraced his uniqueness. He embraced who he was. He knew who he was, and he embraced who he was. In Luke 4, verse 16 to 21, this is what we read. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus knew who he was, and then he embraced that and accepted who he was, and he embraced it to a degree where he publicly declared who he was. Jesus said to love others as you love yourself, love your neighbour as you love yourself. How we accept ourselves, how we view ourselves, will determine how we relate to others and how we manage in the world, and actually in dealing with stress. If we, if Jesus said, "Love others as you love yourself," what happens if you hate yourself? What happens if you don't like yourself? Well, actually, that's how you're going to respond to others. One of the things that protects us from being stressed is having really meaningful and deep relationships. If we don't accept who we are and embrace that, then we're going to have some problems in those relationships. And that's going to cause us to experience stress. Loving oneself before you can love others is a challenge. Many of us, I've encountered many people in life, particularly when I was doing formal counselling, who don't even like themselves. They didn't even like themselves, let alone love themselves. They didn't like who they were. They actually resented who they were. And they resented a lot of other people because that's how they responded. And I think it's a principle that Jesus gave us. Self-rejection is a major problem in our world today. And it's fueled mostly by the expectations of others, or the perceived expectations of others, and unfair comparisons and comparison with other people. If you know yourself, firstly, then you can accept yourself, but somehow you've got to work out that you're okay. And I think one of the ways we do that is to actually look at ourselves the way Jesus looks at us. Jesus says he loves us, and he loves us as we are. And once we do get that understanding, self-awareness comes from self-honesty. You've got to actually be honest about who you are, rather than pretending you're something that you're not. Often we go out and we try to pretend that we're something we're not, and we try to project to other people what we think they want to see, or what's actually going to allow them to accept us. And when we do that, we'll never ever face up to who we really are. In some way, we've got to have a relationship with Jesus that allows us to experience his love, to sense his love and his acceptance, and then we actually can accept ourselves. We have to first like ourselves. Jesus loves us, but we have to like ourselves. We have to get to the place where we say, you know what, David, you're pretty strange. You know, it might be better if you looked a bit better, and, you know, and it'd be good if you didn't have some of these medical issues. And, you know, it'd be great if you actually were a little bit more sensitive sometimes to other people. And it'd be really good if you had this particular gift and this particular gift. But you know what? You're also able to do this, and you're able to do this. And I think you're all right. Actually, I like you, David, because that's what Jesus says to us. So often we go out and we look at ourselves and we don't like what we see, or we think we need to be something different to be successful in this world and to find acceptance, and we try to be other people. Now the trouble is, when you do that, you go around and you pick all the good things of other people, all the things that they do really well, and you build it into this super person, and then you try to be that person and you're constantly disappointed. Oscar Wilde once said, "Be yourself, everyone else in the world is taken." And I think that's a really good statement. You know what? Only you can be you. And God has designed us to be something unique in this world, someone unique in this world. And I think one of the principles maybe that we can operate by is you don't need to be better than anyone else. You actually don't need to be better than anyone else in this world. You just need to be better than what you used to be. I think that's what Jesus wants from us. Jesus doesn't want to change who we are. Often people say, well, Jesus wants to change us. And they think that Jesus wants to change you into some kind of other person, into that sort of person or that sort of Christian or that person over there. So Jesus wants to change us. And when we talk about Jesus changing us, often we'll think, maybe even subconsciously, of somebody else that Jesus wants us to be. But I can tell you, biblically based, that Jesus doesn't want to change who we are. He just wants us to be everything he has designed us to be. And discovering what that is what a relationship with Jesus allows us to do. I really like Little Athletics. Little Athletics isn't about going out and competing in a race. When you see a race of Little Athletics, you're not competing against other people. They don't give a prize to the person who wins. What they do is give you a record of what your last time was and what your new time is. You're competing against yourself. And I think that's what growing as a Christian is. The next thing that that I think Jesus did, which we can learn from, which allowed him to cope with a lot of stress, a lot of stressors in his life, was he not only knew who he was, he knew what his purpose was, and he acted on his purpose. So that's what I call self-deployment. This is calling him purpose. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And in Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus knew exactly what his purpose was on this earth. He constantly talked to people about that. He constantly talked to his disciples about it. But he also talked to these Pharisees, the people who challenged him. And I think when people challenge us to do something other than our purpose, that's a good time for us to have a really good understanding of who we are and self-acceptance. We can say, you know what, I'm not going to do that because I know why God created me and I'm going to do what God created me for. Another thing is when somebody comes to you and says to you, like they do to me, "Oh, David, you're a really good communicator. You really, you know, when you shared, it really spoke to me and it changed my life." Well, I used to say, "Oh, you know, well, God gave me the message, you know, and I, you know," you're sort of self-deprecating. I don't do that anymore. I say, "Thank you. I really appreciate that. You actually are validating what I believe about myself and my gifts." Jesus did that. Jesus did that. He knew who he was. He knew what his calling was. He knew what his purpose was. And he deployed himself. It's not only one thing to know what your gifts are. It's then you've got to deploy yourself in the world and in other people's lives. Use your gifts. Be good stewards of the things that you've been given. And when we talk about stewardship, we often talk about time, talent, treasure, don't we? The three T's. I think there's a fourth T. And I think it's the most important. Time, talent, treasure, and testimony. I believe we're stewards of our story. And you know what? You might not think you're an expert at anything, but you are an expert at your own story. Nobody else can tell your story like you can. And you're a steward of that. And as we share our story with other people, they'll share their story with us. And that is self-deployment. That's deploying your uniqueness. You might not think you've got all these special gifts. You might not think you can do certain things, but you can share your story. And that is a really great opportunity for us to self-deploy and be good stewards of what God has given us. And then lastly, Jesus was self-actualized. There was this very famous psychologist, and I really loved, when I was studying psychology, I loved his approach to psychology, his theories, his application, his counselling style, and I guess it's the one I related to the most. And his name was Abraham Maslow. And he was a very honest researcher. Maslow went out and he looked at humanity. And we're told in the Bible that when we go and study the creation, we will just find God. We actually find God. Maslow went out and he studied humanity, studied people, he looked at the relationships, and I think he found principles of God's kingdom, even though he didn't describe them as that. Because he was an honest researcher, he didn't come out with preconceived ideas and things already decided that he wanted to achieve. And he came up with this hierarchy of needs. And he said, everybody in humanity, all human beings have needs, and they've got physiological needs. That was the first layer. Like, if you don't get enough food, you're going to not get enough water. If you don't get those things that keep you well physiologically, you can't go to these next level. You actually will die. So this is the baseline needs that you've got to meet before you can get to this higher level. The next level was the need for safety, the need for security. And I'm sure you can see how that's a vital need, that we need to feel safe and we need to actually protect ourselves and our families. That's a priority that you will always go to first. And then next was feeling love, feel that you belong. That's what the church does the best, or should do the best. That's what Jesus said. We can only be a follower of him in the context of relationships. Because everything Jesus talked about, which were the imperatives for us following him, could only be done relationally. So Maslow found that love and belongingness was a very significant need level, the next level after those other ones. Then he had this other one, which he called self-esteem. But when he went out and explained it, self-esteem was really that self-acceptance I was talking about, and self-valuing. So not only did he talk about getting a clear understanding of who you were, he talked about valuing yourself. And he captured that in the self-esteem. It wasn't about narcissism, about thinking yourself better than others. It was about being honest about yourself and embracing who you were, which is what I've just talked about, and Jesus did exceptionally well, and he discovered that. And then the final thing that he talked about, the peak of his psychology, the aim that if you were helping somebody, you were trying to get them to, was self-actualization. It was where a person became everything that they could be, that they were the best expression of them, to be the best expression of you. Now, Maslow went on to write many books to become a leader in what was called humanistic psychology. And he became somebody who was more and more interested in the metaphysical, what was called the metaphysical, the spiritual. Now, I know somebody who knew Maslow, a guy who was a PhD, he's since died, and then somebody else who actually read some manuscripts that he'd written. He actually was writing his final book, or a book, when he died. And his son found the book, a half-finished manuscript, and said, "My father lost the plot here. He was all metaphysical and spiritual. I'm not even going to publish that." But somebody found, actually somebody I talked to had read this unfinished work, and guess what he said in it? "Jesus was the most self-actualized person who ever lived." This is what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to be everything that he has designed us to be. Now, why would I go down this track? Well, I can tell you now, when you are in your purpose, when you understand who you are, it doesn't matter, and you are living, you're deploying that, then it doesn't matter what stresses are thrown at you, you won't be adversely stressed. If you are making a difference in people's lives, you will be very able to cope with stress. Jesus said, "I have come to give life and give it to the full." That's what he was talking about. That's self-actualization, and that's what Maslow was talking about. Now, in this crisis we're in, COVID-19 crisis, I have just been overwhelmed with unexpected calls, unplanned things in my life. I spent an hour 2 days ago on the phone with a pastor who was crying because his whole community was falling to pieces, and he was trying to serve, and there was other people calling me up, and people who are ill, and you know, it's just overwhelming. Then Jenny, of course, has her incident, and then Jenny's mum was in hospital, and they basically had to get her out, and she's not able to look after herself. We're doing all that. Now, I should be highly stressed, but that person I was talking to, that pastor I was talking to, said, "David," now I spoke to him yesterday again, and he said, "David, I don't know, I don't think I would have got through this without you." Now, I should be highly stressed, but I said to him, and he apologised for taking up so much of my time. And I said, "You know what? You are allowing me, I want to thank you." He said, "Why?" I said, "You are allowing me to fulfil my purpose. And that is just so energy-giving, life-giving to me that I want to thank you for allowing me to do that." So when you're fulfilling your purpose, when you understand who you are, you're fulfilling your purpose, and you're blessing other people, and you're everything that God has designed you to be, those moments of self-actualization, stress just like water off a duck's back. And that's what I want to leave you with. Jesus wants us to live life and live it to the full. And I just pray that will be the case for all of you. Thank you.